So glad you're here today in the house of the Lord. Our guests, oh, we're just so glad to have every one of you today. Thank you for making our day. Let's give our guests a hand. We're so glad you're here today, and it feels good to feel the Lord's touch, to feel grace, the grace of God, and what God's doing in this old world right now in our lives. We're so thankful for His blessing, the plan of God, and God's not done. God has so much more beyond this world, beyond our lives, and we're so thankful for it. Now, our youth class will stay in today, and I want you to stay in because I felt something to the Lord for all of us, and I just want to say today what a joy, amen, and what a privilege today to feel the prayers of God's people. Thank you for praying for my wife. My wife is in Virginia, and she is there. My little niece had a baby, finally, after Thursday being in the hospital all the way, and last night, or this morning at 5, I get my phone call, and finally got it done, and thank you for praying for her. Going to believe the Lord for a safe trip home, that God would be with her, my grandbabies, and my daughter. And we're just so thankful for the blessings of the Lord, and it feels good to feel Jesus. Amen. It really does. And I'm thankful for the great hand of God in our lives. You see, I just don't want to be the one that just sucks up all the blessings, absorb all the blessings. I want the blesser. Amen. Everybody wants the shepherd, but they don't want him to take lead. Neither do they want to follow. I want to follow. I can't find my way out of things. Are you the same way? Amen. I get myself in big binds when I'm not following the shepherd. I want the shepherd to be in lead in my life. He makes it all better for us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I want to go to Deuteronomy today, the 30th chapter. We go to the word of the Lord today. And let me just say this today. The word of God is important. Amen. My opinion don't count. My opinion is like a trash can. Everybody's got one and it stinks, right? But the word of God matters. And this precious book's going to matter. It's going to be right 9 times out of 9. You know, the grass is going to wither. The flower's going to fade. But there's something that won't. It's the word of God. Amen. So today we go to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. The writing of the word of the Lord today. And how great it is to open the word and find the God of the Word. It's more than prose. It's more than just a subject. It's more than just inspirational thoughts. It's more than just good luck. But I'm thankful there's the God of the book today. Amen. The Word of God. In Deuteronomy 30, the chapter, verses 19 and 20, we want to look at that. The Lord says, in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, the length of thy days, that thou dwellest in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. He wants you to live, but he wants you to love the Lord and cleave unto him. Obey his voice, for he is thy life. Amen. We have a choice today. And the Lord's put before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Today, the encouragement is, I choose life. How about you? Amen. That great decision, I choose Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you today for your grace and power, the abundance of your grace and love that you bestowed on us. Thank you today for that, for those that are here. And help us to hear and receive what your Spirit is saying today. Help me to grasp and help me to work on me, Jesus. And I give you praise and I give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Giving us a choice. Joshua came to the book of Joshua 24. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A choice is very important in life. Your choice matters. God don't make that choice for you. God made you a free will, moral agent. But not everybody's going to make it to the other side. The Bible says if the gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. To those that don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ will be lost. There are some people who say, well, I think they're okay. No, the Bible says if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Our obligation as God's people is to let our light so shine before men and to take this gospel to whosoever. The gospel, the first two letters of the word gospel is go, to teach. And many people have different terms of what the gospel is. We just say this, you have to obey the gospel. You just don't need to know it and quote it, but you need to know the gospel. The gospel is the good news that you don't have to go into eternity without God. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ made a way for you? So Jesus taught, all through his teaching, he taught about repentance. He taught how important repentance was. And he said, except you repent, you're going to perish. In other words, he said, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. In order for you to get to God, you got to have repentance. Amen. One man said, well, you know, I don't believe you have to repent. The only thing you got to do is believe. Well, if you ever studied repentance, believing and repentance are always coupled together, sewed together, seamless together. Amen. You got to repent of your sins. Jesus emphasized the importance of repentance. Then we find that there was a man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You find that Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a wealthy man. He was a popular man. But he still came to Jesus by night saying, Master, good man, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said unto him, he said, I want to tell you what you got to do. Absolutely. When you read the word verily, verily in John chapter 3, he's saying, absolutely, no other way. Verily, verily, certainly, certainly, I say unto you, you must. Everybody say you must. You must be born again. You must be born again to see or enter into the kingdom of heaven. No way around it. No way around it. What about the person on the island that's never heard Jesus? If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Solve that issue real quickly. You got to be born again. Jesus must be Lord in your life. His blood must be in your life. So it's our obligation to take the good news, to reach the lost. And I want you to think about it. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus was confused. He thought, I'm an older man. And perhaps his mother was already in the grave, he said. It's impossible. It is impossible without God. How can I be born? I'm old. Do I go back in my mother's womb? And Jesus looked at Nicodemus. He said, you've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to see or enter in the kingdom of God. You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You know, when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, people began to ask Peter and John and the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? Peter standing up with the 11 other people stood with Peter. Peter answered their reply. He said, repent. Same thing Jesus spoke. And be baptized. Can you put that on that up here, Brother Josh? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent. Everybody said, repent. Repentance is not an option. Jesus did not give an option. It's not A, B, or C. It's repent. Everybody say it's still in the book. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You need your sins remitted, the baptism in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Well, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now I want you to notice the elements. What Peter said was exactly the elements of what Jesus had been teaching. Repentance, burial in water, and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and receiving the Spirit of God. There's a death, the repentance, there's a burial in water baptism, and then there's a resurrection when you receive the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful that God is involved in our lives? Amen. Oh, I'm glad that God is involved. You have to have the Spirit of God inside of your life. The Spirit of the Almighty God will make you a new creature. In fact, the Bible says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I need Jesus. I need the Spirit of God. Praise God. And if you haven't repented of your sin, see, you got to turn from, but you also have to turn to. You got to turn from sin, but you have to turn to God. You just can't quit. There's a lot of people who have willpower. You could quit smoking, you could quit drinking, and you could say, wow, I've accomplished. But what good if you quit smoking and quit drinking, but you don't turn to Jesus? Then you die to self, allow Jesus to be Lord. Then you're buried with him in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ in your life. I'm thankful today that I have the name of Jesus in my life. How about you? Yes. Amen. We've got to be obedient. And it's important when you make that decision in your life to follow Jesus. Everything goes. You're willing to lay down everything in your life to say yes to the Lord. I'm thankful today I have said a yes to God. And that yes was not just something back then. That yes is a daily yes. Amen. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me just on Sundays. Oh, just on Monday. No, not just on Sundays and Monday. Amen. You got to follow him every step, every day of your life. Amen. Are you a part-timer? Are you in this full-time? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though the world don't go with me, so what? Yet I will follow him. Are you thankful today that Jesus is still leading the way? If you follow, praise God. I want to talk to us today. In Deuteronomy, it talks about we got a decision. We could choose life. Or we could choose the other thing. We could choose death, destruction. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. Hear me. And somebody said, how long is eternity? Well, eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Keep saying it forever. And when you just think eternity's just ending, eternity would just begun. Eternity's too long to be wrong, I'm telling you. Amen. But I want to talk to us today about the far reaching of a decision. Think with me. Isn't it amazing how a 2-second decision has a far reaching effect? I have an acquaintance that was at a parking lot, and he misunderstood the young man when the young man was really trying to help him park. And the gentleman was an elderly gentleman, and as that young man was trying to help, the elderly gentleman got upset and thought that the younger gentleman was insulting him. The younger gentleman had a 10-month-old baby in his hand, but the elderly gentleman, he took it as an insult. He got mad, and he pushed the younger man with the little 10-month-old baby in his arms from where they're gathered. And upon pushing, the younger man kind of stumbled back, and he handed his baby off. And when he did, he socked the elderly gentleman in defense, because the elderly man kept on coming after him. 2-minute decision cost this elderly gentleman, knocked him down in front of everybody on that hard Walmart pavement, busted the back of his head. insult, all because of a wrong decision, 2 second decision, this gentleman is now faced with all kind of problems. I'm going to tell you, amen, just a wrong decision will cost you. But there's some good decisions you can make. Amen. I want to tell you that the good news is the bad news is wrong. There's a heaven for us. We don't have to go to hell. Are you thankful for it? Amen. There's so much for us. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Today, if you can look and evaluate, amen. Oh, I can remember taking those tests in school where you had a multiple choice. God has given you a choice, A or B. And you got a choice today, either he or life itself. Life without Jesus is like a donut, we used to sing. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. Amen. You need Jesus to be right in the middle of your life. I choose the better part. How about you? I choose life today. But the cost of making a decision, even 2 second decision, is so crazy. On the way to Houston this week, I don't like Houston traffic. I went to college in Houston, learned to drive in Houston, but I don't like Houston. It's congested. Everybody's rude, crude, and have attitude. And here we are. And I knew the window of time. Brother Pirtle, I pretty well know that if you're going to go to Houston, and especially you get to South Houston area, when those plants start to give change, there's people going to work, and there's people leaving work. So you have a lot of congestion. So I knew to go early. But as I was traveling, I got to 288 south part of Houston, right there, and I'm in my wife's car. And I'm headed somewhere in Houston, and all of a sudden, the traffic is not slow, but just steadily moving. And somebody ahead tapped the brakes, and I was watching. The car to my left plowed into the car in front of him. And when they did, they spun, and the car was right here before me. And I had just a split decision, either plow into him or go to the right. Now, I'm so thankful that right before all this happened, I've been vigilant. I've been looking at right lane. I was getting ready to turn into that right lane when all this happened. I was able to turn very quickly. I mean, just barely missed it. Like they used to say, by the skin of your teeth. I hadn't found any skin on my teeth, but, you know, by the skin of my teeth, I thought, whoo, did I hit that vehicle? Did I rub against him? It was so quickly. But being vigilant, being watchful, being mindful of the situation helped me through, because just when I slipped through, the car behind me plowed into that one. The car behind it plowed into it, and went into the next right lane, and another vehicle hit. And I'm looking through my rearview mirror watching a domino effect in just a matter of seconds to where there was a major traffic problem. Wrecks everywhere, people injured, things happened. They sent a life flight helicopter there, if one understand. I missed it by just a microsecond, amen, because of the goodness of God. I'm glad God's still my shepherd. But hear me, one little moment of time can cost you a far-reaching effect. Our son Isaac, going to Cushing the other day, 204, June the 29th, in his little pickup, just got the driver's license, just got it all fixed up. Man, he's got everything going. And I may mention, man, I was so excited. I said, you know, I looked at my wife, I said, we finally kind of have an empty nest. Isaac has a job, he's got a vehicle, and we was going to go to the Ark in Kentucky. I was so excited. We had made plans, we had talked about this. We were so excited. Well, on the way to Cushing on a Saturday, here's Isaac. And as he's traveling, wasn't speeding, had his seatbelt on, and he overcorrected his vehicle. Just went over the line just a little bit. And trying to correct it, all of a sudden he turned hard. When he did, he ran off the road, flipped his vehicle 3 times, and crushed the cab and crawled out. Just a split second. of a decision, and here Isaac, his vehicle is completely worn out. I don't want to just talk to you the consequences. Here's Isaac now. I mean, because of a decision and letting his vehicle go off the road just a little bit, a microsecond, has cost him. Now, I mean, he's on crutches. Now his right leg is broke. Now he'll understand what King Arthur's all about. Arthritis, won't he? He'll understand when winter comes, the pain that comes along with that injury and that break. And I want to just tell somebody, I'm so thankful for the many times God has had his hand on me that just at the right moment, God protected us. But there are also times that you have a choice. You have a decision where you can make a choice. And I've seen people at that place where they did not evaluate and did not look at the result of their decision. They didn't look down the road, and some people ignored the consequences. There are consequences to your decisions in life. Amen. There's consequences to bad decisions. But friend, I want to highlight today, there's a consequence to a good decision. Are you thankful that there is some good in God? There's some great things in God. There's some excellency in God. They have an effect as well as a bad one. And sometimes what you speak, even words that you use sometimes as a result of a decision. Have you ever put your foot in your mouth? Well, isn't it crazy? Whatever size shoe you wear, that's about the size of your mouth. Yeah. You'll get hung by your tongue. And there's words that you can never retract. There's words you can never bring back. And folks, how important it is that you make the right decision and hang on to the right things. That you learn to keep yourself. You learn to discipline yourself. You learn to do what is right, to hold your tongue. That little red devil behind your white pearly gates, amen, the Bible says, a bad enemy. You can tame a mighty big animal, wild animal. You can tame all these animals, but the Bible says no man can tame your tongue. But I think the Holy God of heaven can. You think that God still tames tongues? Amen. God still changes somebody. He'll change your heart and change your walk and change your talk with it. What a difference God makes when you make the right decision. God will stand with you, walk with you, and be with you all the way. You know, your decision can result in heaven or hell, eternal life or eternal separation. Obedience is more than just compliancy. There's people that comply to the things of God but never obey God. You can comply to things in your life just because it's expected of you by everybody in the crowd. But friend, amen, we need to live for God because he sees everything when everybody else don't see things. What matters is who you are, amen, when the lights are off. Who you are when you're by yourself. Who you are when nobody's looking. God's still aware where you're at. I want to follow Jesus, not just in front of the crowd. In the lonely times, dry times, seasonal times, where it seems you're going through the desert and the valley of life, let it be that your mind's made up. We used to sing the song, I got my foot on the rock. And my mind's made up. Are you thankful today? How many's got their foot on the rock? And how many still has their mind made up? All the good things of God. The great decisions of God. For God. You know, again, obedience is more than compliancy. A decision to build your life on the rock instead of the sand of life. Because what happened, Sister Carmen, was the illustration of a house on the rock and a house on the sand. Both the house on the sand and the house on the rock receive the same storm, the same vehement waves and winds and all the different things that come with the storm, the flooding and the beating against the house. But the house that stood was the one that made a decision, the right decision. I'm talking to somebody today about making that right decision. The Word of God said a while ago, choose life. Choose the right things. Choose what is right. And another illustration in the Word of God that wisdom and foolish was the 10 virgins. 5 made the right decision. 5 others had no decision. Sometimes lack of decision is a decision. Say it again, lack of the decision is a decision. When you choose to do nothing, it's a choice. But I chose to do something for Jesus Christ. How about you? The 5 foolish chose to do nothing. As a result, they were left behind. And the people that choose to do nothing about your life, you're going to find that there is a far-reaching consequence. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight. Lay aside weights and sins that beset you. And there are sometimes there's not everything may be a sin in your life. It could be a weight. It may not be a sin, but if it's a weight to you. You know, and every time I talk about this, I got to use that pig in the race. There was a man that was running a race, and he had a big old pig in his arms. And that pig was there. I mean, he was a pet pig. He loved his pig. But the problem was, I mean, he was running a race. And somebody talked to him and said, man, what are you doing with a pig? He said, well, I'm running the race. He said, I just want to bring my pet pig with me and run this race. The guy said, man, you can't win this race with that pig in your arm. He said, look at the rule book. You don't tell me anywhere that I can't run with a pig. Well, they knew we didn't say anything in the rule book. There's some things that's not in the book. Well, he gets to going, that big old pig starts squealing and hollering. And I mean, he's fighting a pig instead of running the race. And he loses the race. The key to that, what I'm telling you in this illustration is, some things may not be a sin. It may not be in the rule book. But if it's a weight to you, get rid of the vanity. Get rid of the pig in your life. Get rid of the weights that will hinder you. If you know there's things that are hindered, people hinder you. Conversations and conduct with people. There's sometimes you've got to say bye-bye to friends. You've got to be like that prodigal son. He got sick of the pig pen. And like that old preacher said, he gave that pig pen and those pigs a permanent wave. Even you need to tell them bye-bye. I don't belong in this pig pen. And you better have the guts and the backbone in life to make decisions and say, I'm going to stick with what's right. I'm going to do what's right. It has a consequence that matters to me. The far-reaching effect of a decision. Lay aside those weights. You know, a negative mind spawns only negative things. Negative ideas. There's sometimes I got to look up, get my head out of the ground, get my head out of the sand. Got to realize, hey, this is not a playground. This is a race that we must complete. This is real. Eternity's real. Life is real. Most people think life is just a video game. You're playing a video game, young lady. When your character dies, you just start again. But you got one opportunity at life. You can't just go back and think, well, I don't like living, so I just end it all. When you end it all, you begin it all. Eternity begins, amen, whenever this life is over. I want the eternal power of the Holy Ghost. I want the good things of God. Whatever you're going to choose today, is it going to be, oh, what before you, life and death? I choose life today. How about you? I choose the better thing. Your future depends on many things, but mostly on you. Your future depends on a lot of things, but your decision matters. There's been costly decisions in the Word of God. Adam and Eve, one of them, costly decision. What about King Saul? Costly decision. But there's been some costly decisions in the good way too. Noah made a costly decision. I'm going to build an ark. Amen. Abraham made a costly decision. I'm getting out of Ur of the Chaldees and I'm following the true God. How many's ever made a costly decision in the right way? We hear about bad decisions, but I'm thankful there's some here today in God's house that's made up their mind to make a right choice. I want a good, costly decision. It costs you everything to live for God. If you don't sell out, you're going to be bought out. Sold out can't be bought out when you sell out for God. Costly decisions matter. Made up mind. Joshua and Caleb said, it don't matter. I talked to our ministers this morning at ministers' breakfast about this, about your weather forecast. In Joshua, it says, go check out that land. 10 spies went out. He said, go check whether you can take the land, whether there be good people, whether they live in just tents, or about their... Well, there were some that came back and said, we can't take it. What's your weather forecast? God has a promise for you. And it's got your name on it. God wants to give it to you. Are you going to be like those that came back and said, we're like grasshoppers. And they're like giants. Are you going to be like a Joshua and Caleb that says, hey, y'all got it wrong. They look at us being as giants, and they are like grasshoppers. Hey, if God's on your side, your enemy is minimized to nothing. God gives you power to make it. God will stand with you when you make the right decision. Somebody say amen. Amen. Made up mind. Three Hebrew children made up their mind to do a right thing. God stood with them. Outcomes matter. But you got to come out of your trial sometimes. Your spirit and attitude is a choice that puts you on the road to good results or bad results. All because of your attitude. Hear me. In the Bible, begins to talk about Abraham. It was against all hope. Everything, all the odds were stacked against Abraham, if I could use a carnal term. All the odds were stacked against him. But Abraham refused to let go of what God promised him. Amen. Oh, against hope, believed in hope, the Bible says. There's no hope for you in this world. There's not an ounce of hope for anyone in this place today. On our own, by ourselves, we can't be good enough to get to heaven. Good people go to hell. Somebody say amen. Amen. You got to get to heaven, and the only way you get there is through Jesus Christ. No other way. The Bible says if you don't go through him, it's like impossible. I want to tell somebody today, I'm thankful that God has made a way. God has a plan for your life. You don't have to be a loser. You don't have to be one that falls out. You could be victorious through Jesus Christ. He's made a way for you. Now, this is the problem with humanity. Brother John Lambert the other day, other night, was preaching. And in Brazil, they use a lot of Uber. I didn't know what Uber was. Sister Crosswhite and I went out of town. We flew out of town, and we were at a conference. And I had to, my son told me, he said, Dad, you could use Uber. And I didn't know Uber from anybody. So I downloaded the app, and I figured it out. It asks you, first of all, you had to put in, you know, how you're going to pay and all that stuff and connect it to your credit card so they could get their money. But you put in your destination. You put in where you're going. Uber picks out the route. You just get in Uber and it take you to the destination. The problem with us, we try to pick the route out instead of letting God pick the route out for us. We're all sticky and icky up in our minds and saying, I don't want to go that way. I don't think you have to do all that. Hey, friend, amen. Your choice is a destination, not the route. God will take you through different routes. But, friend, put your seatbelt on and let God pilot your life. Let God do the driving. Get your hands off the wheel. The problem is when you put your hands on the wheel and you try to choose which way you want to go instead of his way, we get ourselves, everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to follow the shepherd. Man, let God guide you. He can't be your shepherd if you're constantly doing things on your own thing. Have you ever got tired of doing your own thing and realize I need him? You're in a good place whenever you realize that you can't be successful. How many's ever found yourself as a failure? Man, you know, I thought, man, I have tools. I had wood. And I decided one day I was going to build something. And I took drafting in school. And man, I enjoyed drafting. I still draw sometimes. And I drew this out what I wanted to build. And had all the tools, the saws and the nail gun, nails, had ammunition for my nail gun. And man, I had it all. Man, I went out there and I started cutting these boards. And well, by the time I started piecing it together, I mean, this thing was all lopsided. And I'm scratching my head. What's the problem? I can't get everything to fit just perfectly. You know, there are some people believe in covering up their mistakes, but, you know, but when you're raised, get it right, get it right. I thought, what's the problem? So I called a friend of mine. He said, did you take consideration of the blade when you were cutting? That the blade, if you don't cut just right, you could cut on the line. But either it's going to take from your cut or give you more of the board. And I never thought about that. Just a little micro amount of that board. By the time I got to the end, and the next thing I did, I took a board and I cut the first one. I said, well, I got me a template. And I just drew a line on the next board and the next board and the next board. But you know what? Every time I would draw a line, I was making a board a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. There's something that, you know, if you don't learn from your failures, you will always be a failure. And we got to get to that place in life that we learn that I am a failure without the help of the God of heaven. God died on the cross that you don't have to stay in the losing position. God wants you to be victorious. Let him guide you. He wants to be your shepherd. Wayward sheep are because there's wayward lives. They go the way they want to go. But his way is a beautiful way. He matters. Amen. I want you to think about it this way. Look what Jesus Christ has done for you. Your decision matters. Every one of you. But the consequences of decisions are far reaching, more than what you can see. A woman comes before the judge. She is definitely guilty. Judge looks at her. And he condemns her as guilty. And there's a high penalty, $700,000 that she's charged with. And she realizes, I hadn't made $700,000 in 15 years of my life. There's no way I could come up with $700,000, but I'm guilty. She breaks down and she says, I can't do it. The judge said, but you're guilty of it. That's the consequences of breaking the law. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The consequences of us sinning is eternal separation from God. And the judge looked at this woman who's standing there weeping because of her severe mistake in life. Just a decision that's now cost her so much. Judge sentences her. And all of a sudden, the judge takes off his coat. That's in his side. Reaches down, pulls out a checkbook. He writes a check for $700,000. And he comes down. And he says, lady, I know you're guilty, but I have a gift for you. And he hands it to her. And the judge walks back up to the podium. He grabs his coat. He puts it back on. Now the woman has a way out, doesn't she? Only thing she has to do is use the check. Because the God of heaven, that one true God is the judge. But God became flesh. Jesus came to put the check in your hand. Now it's your decision to use that check. Now what good would it be, Sister Jessica, if you said, well, I'm really scared of cashing this. I don't think there's enough money in the bank. If God gave you a promise, God has enough in the bank to take care of it. Hear me. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, she just takes as an insult. I don't want to do this. Tears a check up. Or put the check aside. The decision is yours. You have the decision to receive or reject the things of God. My message to you today, don't waste the check. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste the gift that God has given you. Somebody in the house today needs to say, God, I'm not going to let it. Oh, my daddy used to get the paycheck. You know what he said? On Fridays when he got his paycheck, he used to have a joke. He said, I don't let the ink dry on it. I take it real quickly to the bank. Oh, I want to tell somebody, don't let the ink dry on your check. Somebody needs to cash in today and say, I'm going to make up my mind. Hallelujah. I want to cash in. Hey, Jesus gave his all. Amen. He became a man. Amen. That you can know the power of his goodness and grace. Your decision counts. You want to clap your hands to the Lord today. Pastor, I don't fit in. We don't fit in. But with his offering, his gift, his blood, I now fit in. There's a place at his table. There's a place in his body. There's a place in his family picture. And you belong in it. Amen. We're not here to fit in. We're here to step in. We're here to step up. And we're here to stand with him and realize, hey, not one of us deserves the goodness of God, but the mercies of God came to us, and God became a man to give us a hope in this hour. Your decision counts. You know, failure is a success if you learn from it. You know, I'm not a product of my circumstances. I'm a product of my decisions. Well, I can't pay. Oh, it's just too hard. Oh, yeah. Circumstances. Too hard. Three Hebrew children, the circumstances were before them. And I imagine somebody said, this is too hard. I can't live for God. I can't sell out to God. Why? He sold out for you. And if he loved you enough to put the check in your hand, somebody needs to make a decision today. Your decision. Hallelujah. I don't care how bad it's been. Let me just tell you one more illustration and we're just going to wrap it up. But Brother Coon, them old-time preachers. There was an old-time preacher that I knew well as a kid. I mean, when he pointed his crooked finger at you, it was straight. He preached it straight. And he had some problems going on in the church. He prayed about it and prayed about it. And one Sunday, he told the whole church, he said, I don't want anybody in the Sunday school class. I want everybody in here. And he got up to preach about decisions and consequences. And next thing he knows, he talked about the consequences of decisions in your life, how some things will be forever. All of a sudden, he looked at his ushers and said, bring those things up here. They put big old fans, shop fans. I'm not talking about these. I'm talking about the big old bug blower fans, you know. They come wheeling in his fans, and those men lifted and put them on the platform with extension cords and plugged them in. And that old pastor said, Brother so-and-so, bring me that bag you got. He had a big plastic bag and brought it up there. And the preacher got to talking about decisions, how people buck against God. And he started beating that plastic bag against the pulpit just to make an illustration. How you fight against God. Fight against God. And Little did the congregation know that inside that bag was goose feathers, the down from goose, from geese that somebody was saving. And they had been goose hunting, and they saved all these feathers to make a pillow or something. But it was a big bag of them. And finally, the bag burst. And those feathers went all over the church. And he kept on hitting it and ripping that bag open. Pretty soon, he just threw the bag up in the air. All the feathers are everywhere. He said, "I need everybody." He said, "I want you to gather these feathers." He said, "There's no way possible that you're going to gather every feather in just a little bit of time." You know what? 12 years later, in that building, they were still picking up goose feathers. They built a new building. And that was in Vidor, Texas. Brother Murray Burr was a preacher. And Brother Burr said, when they built their new building, they were still picking up feathers out of the old building. I'm going to tell you the cost of consequences. Amen. There's things that you'll never bring back. There's feathers that you'll never pick up in your life. But I'm so thankful this, that God says you don't have to stay that way. Are you thankful that you don't have to stay in your consequence? Well, Brother Crossway, you don't know what I did. You may have consequences that you had to face, but you don't have to stay in those consequences when God has given you, amen, something greater in your life. Amen. You have sinned. You have embarrassed your soul, embarrassed your family. You've embarrassed the God of heaven. And how horrible it is. Look at all the feathers in your life. You can't recall them and pick them up. Impossible. You to gather that back up and get it all in proper order. I don't know if you've ever made decisions like that. I've made some bad decisions in life. I made some horrible choices in life. But I'm thankful today, amen, when you make the right decision to finally give up and let God, amen, God has a way of putting things together. He will cover your past. Yes, yes. Old song. The old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning, and I could not pay. Grief and woe came in my life. Then I realized it's been settled long ago. The check has been given to me. I've just got to cash in today. My message today, don't let the check waste. Amen. Would you bow your head and lift your hands at the same time? Amen. This message is for somebody in this house right now. Amen. I have felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The last 2 days. Amen. God has somebody's number. Amen. There's some things you can't pull back in life. Amen. If you stay a failure and don't learn from your failure, you'll never know the goodness and the joy of God. God has put before you, amen, life and death. You don't have to go the way of hell. You don't have to go the way of destruction. The way of shame. The Holy God of heaven is here right now in this room. Hallelujah. I wish that somebody right now would just lift your voice as your heart is open to God and say, "God, come right here. I need a renewing. I need a refreshing. I need your sweet presence." Somebody needs to cash in today. But you know what's beautiful about God? More than handing you a check one time. Amen. God gives you a check every day when you live for him. Every day's a brand new check. Every day's a brand new benefit. Every day's another blessing when you live for God. Come on, lift your voice, saint of God. Those of you that have been washed in the blood, you need to thank the Lord right now that the blood still stands. The blood still flows. The mercies of God still stands for you. The check is still powerful. Even the grace of God still works. He still covers your sin. He still loves and forgives you. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm ready to punch the devil out today. The devil of excuse today says this: "You done too horrible. Your goose feathers are everywhere. And everybody knows it's your feathers. Everybody knows what you did." I'm going to give you the scripture today. if you sin. If you sin. That wasn't written to the world. That was written to the church. If you sin, woo, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell somebody, I got somebody still standing up for you. You know what? You know what that means? He's an advocate. The God of heaven is holding. Let me put my judgment robe aside. Oh, Jessica. I got another check for you. Oh, I know you cashed that one years ago, but here's another one for you. And he puts it in our hand today. And he says, I'm standing up for you again and again and again. Amen. Oh, somebody needs to get what God's trying to say right now. Even the Holy Ghost is trying to get over to you. The Spirit of God is trying to get inside of your mind. Hallelujah. Don't let the check become a waster. Amen. Stand, lift your hands with us right now. The Spirit of God is trying to minister. Hallelujah, Lord. I love you. Failure. We've all had them. But I'm not standing in the graveyard of failure. There's eternal life flowing right now. Condemnation is not of God. Conviction is of God. But condemnation says, look what you did. But conviction is, look what he's done. Look what the Lord's done for me. It's no longer my problem, it's his. I'm his child. I repent, I turn, I make the right decision today. Hallelujah, to get a hold of his hand. Somebody needs to get out of that chair right now. Hallelujah. And you need to come up here and say, thank you, Jesus. You've made a way when there seemeth not to be a way. You open a door for me, God. You've given me hope. You've given me opportunity. God, in a time where all possibilities would drain. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for his blood. Somebody, go ahead and raise that banner, brother. Raise that banner, sister. Raise that banner of thanksgiving to the Lord this morning. Come on, quit trying to choose the route. Just go ahead and say, my destination. Amen. I'm making up my mind. I know where my destination is. I'm not going to be picky. I'm going to mess with the route. God has a higher way for me. Come on, let the Lord lead you. Let the shepherd guide you this morning.
Your blood is a rescue. The sin-stained life. Your blood is.
Come on, let the work of the Holy Ghost this morning minister to your heart.
Hopeless and broken. Your
blood is enough. Come on, let God help you. Listen. Come on, somebody cast you in today. You don't have to go another day without it.
Jesus, it's enough.
I turn to you. I repent, Lord.
It's renewing, restoring. Saving and healing.
Come on, let the goodness and the mercy of God touch you.
Delivering captives, setting us free.
Come on, let the goodness of God just flood your heart. Come on, let it flood your mind, your soul today.
All you receive and your blood.
Well, there's an advocate here to step up for you when you stand for him.
It's renewing, restoring, saving.
Stay down today. You don't have to stay down. Rise up, rise
it
up.
It is enough. It's renewed.